Welcome to Writer's Voice, Susitna Valley writers reading their work.
Greetings, welcome to Stardate Susitna. Welcome to November, welcome to winter, and best of all, welcome back to Alaska Standard Time. More on all that and the pre-dawn performance of The Dance of the Planets. I promise not to go on and on about the accursed daylight saving time, why it is irrelevant in Alaska, the negative side effects of semi-annual time changes getting more national press. Maybe we won't have to wait for the Alaska legislature to do the right thing. Maybe the whole country will come to their senses and repeal this unnatural temporal tampering. Did you change all your clocks? Or will you be tricked by that one you forgot and find yourself an hour early to some appointment this week? Grumble, grumble. Now, if Pam Robinson were here, we would have done a seasonal celebration program for Samhain, the ancient Celtic tradition that much of Halloween stems from. Other cultures also recognize this time, halfway from the autumnal equinox to the winter solstice, as the time when the barrier between the world of the living and the world of the dead becomes thinnest, with increased possibilities of movement between the two. Spooky. All Saints' Day, Dia de los Muertos, etc. In a more traditional calendar, the cross-quarter days between solstices and equinoxes are considered the starting dates of the next season. Therefore, this is the start of winter. And I'm beginning to think that this time my lake has crusted over. It's the real thing. No more thawing until spring. Yep, this is a better first day of winter than September 21st. The darkest quarter of the year begins now with the peak, or trough, at the winter solstice, and the ending date in early February, Candlemas turned Groundhog Day, when the amount of daylight is increasing by leaps and bounds. But wait, before you get bummed out about the decreasing daylight, especially the afternoon light so freakishly reduced this week, think more about the glories of the fabulously long nights. Stars, planets, aurora, meteor showers, etc. My goal with this program is to get you excited about naked eye stargazing, to tell you about what you might see in a lovely long dark night, and how to comfortably position yourself to see the best show off Earth. So embrace the increasing darkness and listen up. Other than some aurora and meteors, the best night show this fall has been in the pre-dawn sky. Perhaps you have noticed during the occasional clear mornings how those lovely planets have been dancing with and past each other. A couple months ago, brilliant Venus was the highest above the eastern horizon before dawn. Modest Mars was next, and bright Jupiter was lowest, not far above the due east horizon before morning daylight. Now, Jupiter is the highest, and Venus and Mars are right next to each other. So, to understand the planetary choreography, you need to believe in a sun-centered solar system. Okay, check. Then imagine the increasingly wide orbits of these four planets. Venus, then Earth, third rock from the sun. Then beyond Earth is Mars, and far beyond Mars is Jupiter. These four planets, us and three of our neighbors, are part of this discussion. Of course, all the while, Earth is moving in our annual trip around the sun. But it'll be easier if we agree to start with letting the Earth stand still and just imagine the motions of Venus, Mars, and Jupiter. Okay, the planets are all orbiting counterclockwise around the sun as viewed from the north, all in very nearly the same plane along the same path of the sun across the background of stars called the ecliptic. That's why the planets, when near each other, form a sort of line, though it may be a somewhat squiggly line. The ecliptic passes through the zodiac constellations, which is why those 12 star patterns are so significant. They, and no others, can host the sun, moon, and planets. with a minor exception of Ophiuchus, and we won't get into that. Anyway, you can imagine the planets with smaller orbits move faster across the starry background than the planets further from the sun, those with larger orbits. So of the three planets visible in the morning sky, Venus moves fastest, then Mars, and Jupiter moves slowest. Now let's recognize that Jupiter has been relatively stationary, and we'll talk about the motions of Venus and Mars relative to Jupiter. Okay, you guys, this does get a bit complicated. I'm not even sure how to begin, but I think it's really interesting and makes observing planets very three-dimensional if you understand what's going on out there. The Mars-Jupiter dance will be easiest to describe. Jupiter is inching slowly eastward relative to the stars of Leo the Lion, and Mars, due to his smaller orbit, is moving eastward a little faster. 2 months ago, modest reddish Mars was about 15 degrees above or west of bright Jupiter. A month later, 1 month ago, Mars had caught up with Jupiter, and they were right next to each other above the eastern horizon before dawn. Now, this month, Mars is nearly 10 degrees below Jupiter, so Mars has rushed up on and past the giant planet with the bigger orbit. Now let's add Venus to the dance. Venus, our sister planet, closest to Earth in size, with an orbit that brings her closer to Earth than any other planet. She is closer to the sun than we are and has a highly reflective cloud cover, a combination that makes Venus the brightest object in Earth's sky next to the sun and moon. But you gotta think about how the inner orbit makes Venus's motion appear to us on Earth. The inner planets, Mercury and Venus, just swing back and forth around the sun from left to in front of the sun to the right and behind the sun and back to the left and around and around. An inner planet can never go behind our backside across our midnight sky, but is always an evening star, then disappearing in front of the sun, then is a morning star, then disappearing behind the sun, and on and on. So what Venus has been doing this fall as a morning star is to move to the right or west of the sun as far as she can get, and then remain there a little while as she appears to slowly resume normal or direct eastward motion against the background of stars. You can imagine this. Think of your viewpoint here on Earth, facing in toward the sun, seeing Venus passing between you and the sun, moving left to right. Keeps moving to the right until she starts the journey behind the sun. So for a little while there, she just moves away from you, not really moving to the right or the left. But then you begin to notice that as she pulls away, it looks like she is moving right to left, now that she's heading to the backside of the sun. From my experience, understanding this motion adds a very real three-dimensionality to the dance of the planets. Okay, Venus reached that point where she was as far to the right or west of the sun as she could get last week. Maximum elongation west was on October 26th. After that, Venus has slowly begun to fall back toward the sun, but she won't actually catch up to the sun until next June. So this entire winter and spring, Venus will be the morning star. The reason why she's a morning star for such a long time has to do with the fact that Earth is moving in the same direction. Well, that's Venus. She had been moving eastward relative to the background stars and away from the sun, and now is slowly turning toward the sun. The sun, which also appears to be moving eastward against the stars because Earth is indeed moving. Well, turning our focus to Mars, he is an outer planet with a bigger orbit than Earth, but smaller than the orbit of the next outer planet, Jupiter. 2 months ago, Mars was well above Jupiter and to the right of Leo's brightest star, Regulus. Then 1 month ago, Mars had passed Regulus and was approaching Jupiter. This month, Mars is below Jupiter and pulling further away from the distant giant. Jupiter plods along slowly eastward relative to the background stars, inching away from Leo. But notice something interesting about Mars and Jupiter. even though they move eastward, they are not catching up to the sun. The apparent distance between sun and outer planets is actually increasing because, as I mentioned, Earth is also moving in a counterclockwise orbit, so the sun itself appears to be moving eastward. Not as fast as the inner planet Venus, but faster than outer Mars and Jupiter. The dance is certainly complicated by a moving observer. The morning players, Sun, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, are all moving eastward against the background stars. Venus is now fastest, then the Sun, then Mars, and Jupiter is slowest. Oh, but that's not all. The waning crescent moon is by far the closest object to Earth and moves eastward really fast. She'll be sneaking up on Jupiter Friday morning and then form a lovely tight grouping with Mars and Venus Saturday morning. Weather permitting, it'll be a brilliant photo op. Well, sorry if that was too complicated. A 3D topic deserves some visual aids at least. I'll try to come up with some helpful diagrams to add to the KTNA website with the audio of this program. Despite clouds in the forecast, do look to the east before dawn. It inspires one to see Venus and Mars so close right now, the goddess of love and the god of war commingling peacefully there on the boundary between Leo and Virgo. Next month before dawn, Jupiter will be even higher, Venus will be a little lower, and Mars will be right there in the middle. A never-ending dance of planets admired by the ancients just as you are doing now, beautiful and timeless. Well, have a great week and keep looking up.
You've been listening to Writer's Voice, a production of Talkeetna Community Radio. You can listen to this recording again at ktna.org. New contributors are always welcome.